the meeting in order here. I'd like to call the meeting to order at this time. And at this time, we'll have the Pledge of Allegiance by Councilmember Fast.
Would you all rise with me for a Pledge of Allegiance? Attention, salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Would you roll call, please?
Councilmember Beck.
Here.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Here.
Councilmember Fast.
Here.
Councilmember Rodriguez. He's excused, Mayor. Mayor Cellino.
Here. Agenda approval, are there any additions or deletions?
There are none from staff, Mayor.
Do I hear a motion and a second?
Motion.
I'll second.
Been moved in second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Fast.
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Yes.
Mayor Cellino.
Yes. Under presentation, lights on after-school proclamation, Sarah Reed, Community Service Superintendent. Wait a second here.
I thought she was just here. If it wasn't warm enough.
I'll tell you what, Mayor, if you would be so inclined, let me read the proclamation and tell the council a little bit about what that is. Thank you, council. Proclamation of the City of Reedley. Whereas since 1998, Fresno County Office of Education's FRESH program has become the third largest after-school consortium in California and the fifth largest in the nation, serving 145 school sites throughout 26 districts and providing more than 40,000 students an educationally enriching environment every school day until 6 p.m. Whereas Fresno County Office of Education's FRESH after-school programs provide students who struggle with traditional approaches to education with a second chance to achieve by applying an innovative approach to learning through active, hands-on exploration and skill building. And whereas Fresno County Office of Education's FRESH after-school programs are keeping our students safe and away from crime, drugs, alcohol, and other dangerous behaviors during the time of day when the risk for kids is the greatest. And whereas Fresno County Office of Education's FRESH after-school programs have contributed more than 2,000 jobs annually to the local labor force, and helped prepare future teachers with relevant and hands-on job preparation. And whereas a growing body of research indicates that students who participate in quality after-school programs show increased interest and ability in reading, develop new skills and interests, show improved school attendance and reduced dropout rate, and show higher aspirations for the future, including intention to complete high school and go to college.
Good. Now, therefore, I, Ray Salino, Mayor City of Reedley, do hereby claim October 27, 2015 as FRESH after-school day throughout the City of Reedley and encourage all of our citizens to recognize Fresno County Office of Education's FRESH after-school program for the significant impact they have made in the lives of thousands of students across Fresno County, dated October 27, 2015. Ray Salino, Mayor, City of Reedley.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. The program had approached the city, as it did with multiple other cities. Is she here yet? Oh, okay, good. And has asked us for something, and I'll let Sarah explain what that is.
I'm so sorry, Sarah Reed, Community Services Superintendent. I got word that our special guests were in the school board meeting, so I ran down there, so I apologize for missing it. Myself, representing the City of Reedley as one of the service providers for our after-school programs here in town, and then Juan Alvarado, who is here on behalf of CYM, who, as you know, represents and services the other schools here in town. We were going to read the proclamation for you, so I'm sorry that we missed that opportunity. But we do have some special guests with us here from Fresno County. Adam Fain is our project specialist. He is the one that works closely with us. He makes sure that we're living up to our grant obligations. Anytime we have a question, need support with staff development, he is my point of contact for Fresno County. So I appreciate him coming down. And we also have and make sure I get his title right, the Senior Director of Safe and Healthy Kids, Randy Merton, who is with us this evening. And I think, Randy, if you'd like to come up and say a couple words.
Sure, I'd love to, just for a moment.
We are very proud to be part of these after-school programs. So when Fresno County asked if we would support their campaign for Lights On and After School, CYM and the city just felt it was very appropriate because of the support they give us and the great things these are doing for the kids. So, Randy?
Sure, thank you. Good evening. Thanks for having us here tonight. And I apologize for missing most of the whereases and wherefores. We both, Adam and I, were just sitting happy as a clam in the other meeting and about to miss everything. My apologies. But I do want to say that it is an honor to be able to serve your children during their three of the most vulnerable hours that we know young people have, those hours from 3 to 6, when they are, statistics tell us that they're most likely to be either victims of crimes or equally as bad perpetrators of crimes. And it's an honor that we don't take lightly. We serve 40,000 young people every day. And what I need to say most importantly, we could not do it without amazing professionals like you have here in the after-school world from the city of Reedley, as well as Comprehensive Youth Ministries. They are simply professionals. I think that's the best thing that I can say. They are after-school professionals. And I really want to emphasize, and I want the public, we try to say this as often as we possibly can, the after-school world, there is a stereotype that, well, it's just kind of glorified babysitting, right? I mean, you roll out a basketball and then get on your iPhone for the next 3 hours. Nothing could be further from the truth. We have some of the most outstanding current educators who are trying to go into the future of education, as many of them as teachers and administrators. But we have to move the needle academically or we cease to exist. Our programs have to show improved academic scores, English language learner scores, CELT scores, English language arts, mathematics scores, attendance, improved attendance, or we do not keep these funds within Fresno County. Mm-hmm. And because of the partnerships like you have here, the professionals from Reedley that serve your children so well, let me just give you one quick statistic and then I'll give up the mic. Two of our most marginalized subgroups in education today who have the highest dropout rates approaching almost 50%, Latino males, African-American males in California, almost a 50% dropout rate in this state, which is mind-boggling when you stop to think about it. The statistics that we show inconclusively that we have demonstrated show that those two subgroups, Latino males, African-American males, because of after school, are attending school an average of 17 more days per individual. That's 10,800 Latino males served daily in after school programs in this county, and another almost 1,200 African American males served daily. They're attending the regular day 17 more days on average. That's 180,000 plus additional days of school that some of our most at-risk subgroups are receiving. After school, professionals like CYM and the city of Reedley are creating a new normal for those kids, a normal that won't include dropping out. So I'm proud of the work they're doing, and I want you to know we'll continue to work on behalf of all of our children and your children, and we don't take that honor lightly at all. So thank you so much. Really appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Well, thank you for the presentation.
I'd like to say something. Yes. I work with parents, and a lot of the parents, they're Spanish-speaking, so... And they have problems because they can't help their kids with their homework. Yes. They don't understand it. And the after-school program works with the kids. They have to do their homework first before they can do any of the other activities.
Right.
And so they do get help with their homework, which is so important.
Right.
And also the fact that, like you say, they're safe and they're in a safe environment and they're learning. I have a mother that works in Kettleman. And so she goes to work there every morning. She gets up early and she goes and she's working over there. By the time she gets home, it's late. And so she knows her child at least is in a safe environment. And so it's very important. And I appreciate that what you do.
Oh, thank you so much. Appreciate you saying that.
All right. Thank you.
Good night.
Public comments provide an opportunity for the members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public within the Council's jurisdiction, which are not already on the agenda this evening. It's a policy of the council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the city manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Is there any public comment at this time? Seeing none, going to notice to the public, consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under the consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove an item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance in the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinance, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon an introduction are considered consent items. And at this time, would any council member wish to remove an item? Seeing none, going to public hearing.
A motion on that.
Oh, excuse me. Do we have a motion on that?
We need any public comment?
Any public comment on this?
Also move.
Second.
Moved and second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Mayor Cellino?
Yes. Public hearing. Ordinance with respect to the approval of ordinance, the reading of the title thereto shall be deemed a motion to waive the reading of the complete ordinance unless there is a request by a council member that the ordinance be read in full. Further reading of the ordinance shall be deemed waived by the unanimous consent of the council. That's item number 7. Introduction of the ordinance number 2015-010, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Reedley, amending section 6-3-2 through 6-3-10 of Reedley Municipal Code pertaining to bicycles. And I'll turn over to Administrative Service, Mr. Malikian. Oh, excuse me.
Today. Good evening, Mayor and members of the City Council. I'm Tiffany Kudo, the Staff Accountant for the Administrative Services Department. This evening you have before you Ordinance 2015-10, amending the Reedley Municipal Code pertaining to bicycle license and registration fees. When reviewing the City's current license fees of the Municipal Code and the Master Fee Schedule, staff discussed with the Police Department about the issuance of the bicycle licenses in the city and whether it was a state-mandated requirement. Staff came to the conclusion that bicycle licenses are not a state-mandated requirement and therefore a license or a fee does not need to be issued or collected. Upon revising the ordinance, staff sent out a survey asking other cities if they still required the purchase of a bicycle license. All responses confirmed that bicycle license fees were no longer collected. The ordinance was last updated 42 years ago in 1973, and prior to that in 1960 and 1939. Staff is proposing the removal of sections 6-3-2 through 6-3-7 to comply with current practices and amend sections 6-3-8 through 6-3-10 to reflect current correct numerical order. All safety rules and regulations such as obeying traffic signals, riding as near to the right-hand side of roadways and bicycle paths, and maintaining a reasonable speed will still be enforced and remain in the city's municipal code. Staff is only proposing the removal of the license and fee requirement. There is no physical impact, as the last time the police department issued a bicycle license was in January 2012. At this time, staff is looking for approval from council to amend the following sections of the city's municipal code. I'm available for any questions that you may have regarding this matter.
Any questions, council?
I had a question, and I don't know if you could answer this or maybe the police department, but back years ago they used to have like bicycle roundups or bicycle special days where rodeos, that's right, where they, you know, everybody brought their bikes to school and then they do like figure eights or whatever. But is that something that I know you probably can't answer.
I know.
When I saw that all of you have gone, so we'll have to postpone that one for another time.
Okay.
I just found this to be kind of amusing reading as I was going through. I spoke with our city manager yesterday about this. Back in the day we used to, I think we paid $1 for our bike license and we got it inspected and all of that. So.
It's kind of sad though, huh, that the kids don't bring their bikes like they used to.
People
it's
don't
good
ride
exercise.
Bikes.
They go
Mom and Daddy bring,
right,
them to
bring them to school. You know? So.
Well, I think an important point is that one bicycle license that was issued in 2012 was actually to one of our own employees. So we really have gone a long time without issuing bicycle licenses.
Mayor, may I ask? I'd like to bring a little clarity to simply that Councilmember Fast. I used to issue those $1 licenses when I went. And I kind of just, it was a little discouraging reading this because it told me how old I was. but that was a great thing because we used to go to the schools and everybody would have a day that we licensed the bicycles. Mm-hmm. And the kids would come out and they just had a ball. And to give you an idea, that's kind of how your DARE officer got started within these areas, was because we were putting police officers on campus through the bicycle licensing program. And it was so helpful that the schools were calling the PD, says, can you have an officer come over and work with the students? They wanted to see you. So the program that went by Wayside was really a good thing that happened. But I understand it. The thing is that one time I understood that this state DMV was going to do actually the licensing on the bicycles so they could have them entered in their system because of theft. So I don't know if that ever went by Wayside. Probably Chief could probably answer something to that. So. But that's kind of what that was all about. So, but it did make me feel real old.
Any other comments or questions? You know what's nice about this is to find something like this to make some changes and reduce the amount of wordage in this code that we have. And I know that a few years ago we went through quite a bit extensive changing a lot of the codes in the past, which helped reduce the language and make it a lot easier for staff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is next time I'll look up before I say something. Make sure who's going to speak. This is a public hearing. I open the public hearing now. Is there any public comment? Seeing none, close the public comment and give it back to the council.
Make a motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Mayor Cellino?
Yes. Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you.
All right. Going into item number 8. Adopt resolution 2015-099, amending the 2015-16 adopted budget, appropriating $520,000 in the general fund from higher than anticipated carryover from the 2014-15 budget and an unanticipated Senate Bill 90 reimbursement to be used for various one-time costs. Mr. Milliken.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. It's my pleasure to be here this evening to present this item. It was truly a team effort with staff and the city manager. This has been a pretty consistent item that we've brought before you in the fall, and it's discussing the higher than anticipated carryover from the adopted budget. It's part of the budget process is that staff forecasts what the carryover is going to be, and carryover is essentially revenue from a budget year that didn't get spent or appropriations that didn't get spent. So you come in under on expenditures or over on your revenue, that creates carryover resources that are available to be used in the next budget year. So in the last couple of years, we've had a higher than anticipated carryover that has been used primarily to make contributions to the general fund reserve fund. The council may remember that back in 2014, the city council adopted a general fund balance reserve policy that essentially set 60 days of expenditures as a target level to get to and maintain. So that's been the focus of the carryover contributions the last couple of years, and very proud to announce that we are very close to meeting that target today in meeting our 60 days, which is an industry standard. It's a nationally recognized minimum standard for a city to maintain 2 months' supply of a reserve fund, basically. So that said, the carryover from this last budget year was approximately $545,000 higher than what was anticipated in the budget. We normally like to get a lot closer than $545,000. And the reason why the carryover is so much more than what it typically is because after the budget was adopted in June, we adopted it a couple weeks earlier this year than we typically do, we got word from the state controller's office that the state was appropriating a significant amount of money to repay the SB 90 claims. And these are for all of the unfunded mandates that come down from the state since, I believe, the early 90s, if I remember correctly. So as a matter of practice, cities and other public agencies affected by unfunded mandates could file claims with the state. And a lot of times those claims weren't paid immediately, but they would trickle in as the state had extra money. So we typically get between $20,000 and $30,000 per year in claims payments. But the amount owed to the city was close to $700,000 for everything claimed from present day all the way back to the early 90s. So it was very welcome news. However, it was unanticipated news. So this is something that's unprecedented. So it's basically a one-time event. The state paid off all cities in California for the pre-2004 claims. So everything from 2004 back has now been paid in full to the cities. There are still $330,000, I believe, that is owed for claims from 2004 to the present, and we're still filing those claims, actually. So it's still growing, though not as a rapid rate as it was prior. So that said, we had almost $300,000 that was paid to the city for those pre-04 claims. $231,000 was received last fiscal year, so that's part of the carryover discussion. There was another $54,000 in interest that was paid in this fiscal year, so it's not part of the discussion before you tonight, but it will be part of the mid-year budget review process that we do in January, February of every year, so we'll be talking more about that. So we're simply dealing with the higher than anticipated resources from last fiscal year, last budget year. So that said, it is $545,000 higher than anticipated. So when this information was shared with the city manager, we got all the department heads together. We looked at our budget. We have significant unfunded needs in our budget. We have a capital improvement plan that shows funded projects and unfunded projects. We have operational needs. And the general consensus was that this is one-time money, and it was probably most best utilized in a one-time manner. Instead of, say, starting up a new program where it's an ongoing cost, this is one-time money that may not be there next year. So let's look at some one-time things that could really help us out as far as our unfunded needs. So there is a list of 11 different areas that were identified to utilize all of the higher than anticipated amount. You'll note that the list that is summarized on page one only totals $520,000. The reason for that is because the council already appropriated $25,000 for additional services with the Chamber of Commerce, and that was taken to council, I think it was back in August. So that money's already been appropriated, it's already spoken for. So it's sort of off the table. So we're down to $520,000. And if you'll note there on page one, the projects are summarized. I will be planning to highlight some of the projects, some of the more major projects. And I can start off with something I previously mentioned, and that's the general fund contribution. The proposed allocation to the reserve is a lot smaller than it was last year. Last October, we were before you with a $200,000 contribution. This is because back in 2014, when the general fund policy was adopted, we were 25% short of meeting 2 months of operations. That's a pretty big shortfall. So we really felt that was a priority, and the council agreed that was a priority to get that reserve fund to where it needed to be. Very, very pleased to announce that as of today, we're only 3.2% short of meeting that goal. So what this $50,000 proposed contribution would do would allow the city for the first time to meet its general fund policy for the reserve fund. This sends a very strong signal to stakeholders, to our bondholders, to our residents, that the city puts a priority on financial stability, and it means something when those financial policies are adopted, and it shows that we're not just adopting them and then forgetting about them. So that is a small use of the $520,000 would be a one-time contribution, and that would help us meet that goal there. The second item is the largest proposed allocation, and that is $300,000 towards the down payment on a new ladder truck for the fire department. The current ladder truck was placed into service in 1991, so we're approaching 25 years old. The fire department not only has this one piece of equipment, they have approximately 11 pieces of equipment that they use for the fire prevention services here. And the majority of the equipment is very high dollar, big ticket items. The ladder truck's probably the most expensive single piece of equipment. So it's a very large investment for the city to make. That said, it is approaching 25 years old. And we're sort of in a dilemma with the fire fleet right now, in that the chief and I spent a lot of time looking at the ages and the estimated lives left on all that equipment. And if we don't start tackling some of these acquisitions in a timely manner, then we risk all the equipment getting really old at the same time in about 6 to 8 years. So the idea is to buy down that future liability by making a big purchase right now with these one-time funds. So that way in 6 to 8 years, there's not a huge list of equipment that needs to be replaced at the same time when the economic condition of the city may be worse than we are right now. So it's better to do this perhaps right now than to wait another 3-4 years when we may not know if the dollars will be available. So that said, even with this acquisition, 6 to 8 years from now, there'll be about $2.4 million of equipment that'll need to be purchased. Again, 6 to 8 years from now, what we're looking at is structuring the financing for the ladder truck to be essentially paid off before the next group of equipment needs to be replaced, so that we're not overlapping our debt service to where we have too much money going out the door for debt service. The more money we have going out for debt service, the less money we have for actual training and firefighters and other types of equipment. So we'd like to limit our debt service if possible. So that $300,000 would be combined with $200,000 in fire impact fees that are available right now that would significantly buy down the amount that would have to be financed. So we're talking about $500,000 down payment on essentially an $800,000 or $900,000 piece of equipment. So it's basically a little more than 50% down payment. And that would allow us, with our current revenue streams, to pay that fire apparatus, truck apparatus, down in about five, six years so that we can start to gear up for that next round of acquisitions. That's that. So we can definitely come back to it. I'm sure there's going to be some questions or some comments about that. There's a small allocation to the OPEB actuarial valuation. We're required by the Government Accounting Standards Board to value our retiree medical plan every 2 years. So this $9,000 would be allocated towards that plan. The reason why it's an unbudgeted item this year is because when the city joined the CalPERS trust that allowed us to start pre-funding this, our requirement was only every 3 years. Now that we've joined the trust, we join all the other state agencies in this trust, we have to value it every 2 years. So this is a timely time to go ahead and update that valuation, which was last done 2 years ago now. in 2014, which would be last year, but it was for the previous plan year. That said, it's $9,000. The next item, which I'll quickly touch upon.
Yes, sir. Just talking about something. Going back to the fire truck. Once it gets out of the public, one of the questions going to be asked, how many miles on that truck right now? Offhand, do you by any chance know?
Right now, the mileage on our current ladder truck is 36,500.
36.
Yep.
Okay. People will ask.
But basically, it's not, it's the age of the truck, and we're finding that it's harder to find parts for it and get it repaired. Just last year, I had to buy new tires for it. Well, they didn't make that size anymore. So I had to buy all new back wheels for the ladder truck. Really? So I had a considerable expense I wasn't expecting to accommodate that. So it's just like having a 25-year-old car.
Okay, great.
So I tested that.
No, not at all. Feel free to stop me anytime with any of this. We've talked extensively the last 3-4 years about a new financial system for the city. We're getting closer to bringing forward a new software for the council to consider. That said, it's not a funded item in this year's budget. However, speaking with the city manager, the time may be right to actually go forward with the project a little bit sooner than even next fiscal year. There's some issues with our financial system that we don't want to let sit too long. This would be just the general fund portion of the financial system. I previously shared it's about $130,000-$140,000 investment for the city. This is just the general fund portion that would be appropriated basically in the middle of the year. And we would be bringing forward the item to you. This does not approve a new financial system. This does not approve all the other funding for the financial system, which would be from other city funds. So the discussion tonight is just the general fund. So this would appropriate just the expected general fund piece. And the reason why the general fund is expected to pick up part of the cost is the financial system supports the police department, the fire department, as well as other city functions. So that's where that's coming from. There's also $26,000 set aside for some much-needed tree trimming and possible animal shelter improvements down at Cricket Hollow. There's some very large eucalyptus trees that are in the way down there and potential hazards, so we've allocated some funds there to trim those trees, and then depending upon the cost to trim those trees or take them out, then we're going to be looking at some possible improvements to the animal shelter. And we can definitely speak more about that if there's more information needed. The next item is a small allocation to the police department for some debt service on 6 new patrol vehicles. The council may remember back in 2012, we financed the purchase of 8 new vehicles, 5 marked and 3 unmarked, for about $245,000. They're going to be paid off at the end of this fiscal year. The reason why this is in the package that's before you today is because we're already going to be going out to the market to finance a portion of a ladder truck. We also have financing for a slurry seal machine that's not funded out of the general fund. But we have a small list of vehicles and equipment that we're looking to finance. And the more you can package together in one financing deal, the better the rates and the financing terms the city can get. The smaller the deal, the less favorable. So we felt that a 6-month advance on getting those vehicles financed and in service sooner is actually going to save the city more money in maintenance costs and fuel consumption. A lot of the Crown Vics that are in service right now, they're not as fuel efficient as the newer vehicles. We're also seeing a lot of transmissions dropping out the bottom or failing in some capacity, and those are very expensive types of things, tires. So with new vehicles comes warranties and comes more efficiency. So we really felt this was a good time to package everything together so that these patrol vehicles can be replaced 6 months sooner. It also gives us a jump on the next round because we do have an aging fleet. So this is consistent with what we've been sharing with the council the whole time, every 4 to 5 years to finance a round of vehicles so that you're always replacing your oldest part of the fleet. So just a couple more items. I wasn't planning on covering everything because the staff report detailed everything pretty extensively. But there's a new server in there, and that is for City Hall. And we'd be actually taking three servers out of service. And the server is what is the backbone of the computer network. So this allows us to keep operating efficiently. The current servers are running software that's no longer supported by Microsoft, and that puts us vulnerable to attacks. We're okay right now because we're supported through December, but if we don't replace these servers by the end of the calendar year, we won't have support from Microsoft on the server operating systems. So this is sort of an IT project, but there's another round of servers next budget year. So we felt it was very timely to attack this one right now so that they're not all stacking up again next year. So there's also a firewall that would need to be purchased as well. The same type of thing, it's no longer supported. As far as my presentation, lastly, there's $10,000 to refund. I say refund, we're not paying anybody back, to fund again the community landscapes plan. This was originally before the council in September 2014 to partner with Tree Fresno as well as some other community groups, including PG&E, I think there's a grant there, to create a community landscapes plan for the city. And there's some bullet points down in the staff report about what that includes. This was something that was appropriated at that time, but as the council knows, all appropriations lapse at the end of the fiscal year, so that this project is no longer funded. Tree Fresno contacted city manager, I would say, about a month ago or so, and said that they had completed all of the fundraising and had, in fact, received a grant from PG&E to fund, I think the total cost of the plan is about $30,000. So the city's only contributing about one-third of the cost. So for $10,000, we're going to get $30,000 of services in the form of this plan. And I can let city manager speak about that if needed more. But anyway, so there's a couple other smaller type of items. One of them is a property purchase that's simply a pass-through item. We have some unbudgeted employee costs and the annual employee appreciation event, which is a big hit. So that's the total of $520,000 that is before you this evening. And of course, all of us are here with any questions.
Any questions from council?
I really like the list you've set priorities on.
15, yes.
And I look at the purchase of that fire truck, the starting of that, is a major thing to do now because we wait any longer. We're losing, as far as, we're losing ground with the old one because of the cost of maintenance. But I think we're getting ahead also because we'll be able to buy it right now. Market is probably going to be less expensive than 2 or 3 years down the road too, so you're going to be saving there. Plus you're going to have a great piece of equipment, first of all. You know, we always hate big ticket items, but we know how necessary they are at this time. And we've got a great group of people down there at that fire department, and I think they do a great job. And I think they need the equipment the same as, I'm glad to see the police department look at going to SUVs. I think that's going to be a major revamping of that department and cost savings as it goes. So everything that you guys have put down here, I look as necessary items. I think it's stuff that needs to be done. And if we put the money in the general fund, we're going to be limited in what we can do with it. Anyway, this gives us the ability to use the money now and get ahead of the curve, I look at. That's what I'm looking at on this. So
it's important to note that the actual approval of the financing, for the financing package, that would come before the council one more time for approval before it's finalized. These appropriations simply give staff the green light to issue the RFP for the financing, and it's going to come back right before you again. So you're going to have one more shot at this.
Yeah. I think this is stuff that needs to be taken care of and get it on its way, get it started. Good.
Any other questions?
Council? I have. My concern is, I think this is great, and I agree with Bob about the fire truck because it's a safety issue, and I think that was one of the things that was number one in the community. And we have to keep you happy. You're all volunteers, most of you, keep you happy. So, but I remember when this community landscape plan came out, and the purpose is to beautify Reedley. And $10,000 is $10,000, no matter how you look at it. And you know, when we have development and they build homes, the developer does trees and does landscaping and according to what, you know, we approve of and everything. So it gets done. But I go down to the Rails to Trails and I see trees that are dying, and I go down to my Eastmore this way, and I've seen trees that have been dead for years and pulled out. And I can't understand why we didn't start replacing those trees a long time ago. And so it's almost like you're doing another project when you have a project that needs to be taken care of. And I see that a lot. And I've said it before. And you go down to the gazebo, and it's still graffiti, and it needs painting. And so you're trying to beautify Reedley, but we don't take care of the things that we have right now to keep it up. The murals that finally got taken care of that were painted on the Rails to Trails. And it's too bad because when you see it, it warped. So it doesn't fit the way it's supposed to. And those are beautiful murals, and they tell the history of Reedley, and we didn't take care of them. And I don't know what's gonna, you know, help us to keep, make sure that nothing else happens to them. But I see money being spent on something to beautify Reedley when we need to beautify Reedley things that need to be taken care of right now. And you can have a beautiful house, but what happens inside is more important than having a beautiful house. So I won't approve it because of that. So that's just so you know. But I think that $10,000, if you want to do something good with it, donate it to the $2 million that we're going to need for the library, and have a kickstart and say, you know, we're going to start it out. We're going to donate $10,000 and give everybody on board for some. Yeah. I see better use for it. I'm sorry. I'm getting like my grandmother. I'm very tight with my money. And and being that I was on the school board when we went through a really bad time in the school board, too. So it can happen like almost overnight. Right. And we're talking a drought that we still don't know what's going to happen next year. We're hoping that we'll have a good year. But, you know, work and unemployment, we still don't know how that's going to come along the line for our community. So.
Well, there is a reason this is coming back to council, and that is that we let the appropriation lapse June 30th. If you'll recall, when Tree Fresno approached us back September of 2014, they asked for approval, said they were going to fundraise the other two-thirds part of the plan, and council reluctantly gave approval of the 10. It's taken them a very long time to fundraise the other two-thirds of that portion. We could have reappropriated the dollars in the budget that you approved in June, but we opted not to do that because our thinking was, if it was taking that long to fundraise, how important was this plan for our community if Tree Fresno was struggling that much to get the other two-thirds part of the plan? So what we had sort of a strategic thought process of letting that appropriation lapse so that Tree Fresno had a little oomph under them, a little fire to get it done, and they were unable to get it done by June 30th. And so our thought process was to bring it back so that council could discuss it again and we could determine whether this is something that we still want to pursue. They did raise $20,000. It's roughly in $5,000 increments from Palm Village, from PG&E. There's some Kaiser Community Health Foundation, I think Adventist. The school district declined to participate, and that really was one of the major partners that we wanted on board with this plan. So if council's decided that this just isn't the time for the community landscapes plan, I think we certainly would understand from the staff perspective, because it was very meaningful in telling to us that two-thirds of the plan took so long to raise the funds for. So frankly, what I would love is if the maker of the motion would take this part, the community landscapes plan, out, and we can vote on that separately so that we can vote on the rest of the appropriation. Okay. Would that work for you, Paul, as well, from the resolution standpoint?
Okay. Any other questions?
I just have some comments.
Sure.
I do support the fire department. I do support the police department. I do see, however, that we have the public safety sales tax that is a special set-aside amount for those two departments. And I'm really struggling with, we get over $1 million a year to those two departments. I remember the fire is about 30%.
Yes.
And the police department's about 60% of that over $1 million a year. And I just really think that we need to use those funds as much as we can to do some of the equipment purchasing with those funds rather than pulling from, the general fund, special funds to do this type of thing. I do realize that we got a windfall, which we probably won't get for a long time again. But I'm having a hard time with that. I see the benefit of combining the loans to make a one package rather than having three little packages, and I understand that piece and the savings that'll bring us there. That's really the only piece that I appreciate. So I'm really struggling with those two items, and I realize that's the biggest piece of this deal. But
just to clarify, on the police vehicles, actually the lion's share of the debt service would be paid by the public safety sales tax. In the fire department, the public safety sales tax, as well as any fire impact funds, those would be looked upon first for the repayment of the part of the ladder truck that we would finance. So the PSST would pay a portion of its revenue into paying for the ladder truck. However, based on the annual revenue and the fact that the fire department gets a 30% allocation, it would be a long time before they had enough dollars, especially considering that they have already allocated a portion of the PSST for staff and maintenance type of expenses that have previously been approved by the budget. There's a couple of positions in the fire department being paid for out of PSST. It doesn't leave enough left over at the end of the day to make such a large purchase. And it would take literally years and years. And so what we're really fighting against is time as the equipment ages.
Oh, I see that.
Yeah. So it, just to clarify that the PSST would be contributing for the debt service. So.
Yeah. And I think for future then, based on that, maybe we need to reevaluate what we're using that public safety sales tax for those different departments.
Okay. Any other council questions? Seeing none. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none.
I'd like to make a motion, if I could, to remove the community landscape plan and vote for the rest and make it a separate thing. That's okay.
Okay, that's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We'll move to the second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Mayor Cellino?
Yes. Well, these funds that we're working with today, Santa Claus came early. That's great.
Is there a desire on the council, on any of the remaining council's part, to have a motion on the community landscapes plan?
I'd like to make a motion to support that.
Is there a second?
Come on, guys. I think you've got a 1-3. I mean, you're spending 10, but you're getting 30 in value.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
I'll second that.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Mayor Cellino?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
No.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Council.
All right.
So you got a 4 on the first and a 3 going on the second. Okay.
Going to item number 9. Adopt resolution number 2015, adopting the City of Reedley's Community Development Arts in the Public Places Pilot Program. And it'll go to Mrs. Moore.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. Ellen Moore, Assistant Planner with the Community Development Department. So what I wanted to do tonight was to give you a brief report card, because as you recall, last year in August of 2014, this council approved the initiation of a pilot program to paint 6 utility boxes at 4 different locations. So I wanted to provide an update of how that went and how the public responded. And then also, based on that feedback, I wanted to present the Arts in Public Places pilot program draft that is in your packet this evening. So as I mentioned, there were 6 utility boxes that were painted in, I believe it was October, November, December time period in 2014. Kaylin Franzen was the artist, and she went out and painted those. And within a couple days of her going out there, I got a couple of calls from the public saying that it was a great thing to keep up the good work. And so that was a great thing to hear from staff's perspective. You know, within days of her starting to paint, people were driving by and noticing. And then the artist also reported that she got about 8 to 10 positive responses a day. People would stop to talk to her and say what a great job she was doing and what a good idea this was. And I did want to point out that she didn't get any negative comments. It was only positive comments. And then just from staff's perspective, the fact that people actually took time to call us and say, hey, this is a good idea. You know, I like seeing colorful boxes when I'm driving down Manning and seeing that art there. So that was something that was great to hear. There were only 4 or 5, but I didn't think there would be any personally. So just, you know, hearing that feedback and having people take the time to call was a really great thing. So I did want to let the council know that there was a positive comment for that. There were even a couple of local artists that did come by and were interested in the program. I'd say maybe 2 or 3 stopped by. There was also one organization that was looking to, you know, contribute to the program if it ever became a program, and to help with outreach to artists, teenagers, kids in general, but it's part of that program to reach out to them. So I did get contact information, so I'll be contacting them shortly if this is approved this evening. And so, as you also recall, in August of 2015, there was a second round of boxes that were painted, as well as one irrigation standpipe. And that pipe had actually been tagged pretty badly with graffiti a couple months before that, because it was just a white pipe and then they spray painted red on it. And so now it actually has a beautiful depiction of the Sierra Nevada mountains on there now instead of graffiti and then instead of a white pipe. And so that was to gain more feedback for the program and to see if people still responded positively to the fact that the more boxes were being painted. And so Kaylin reported that we did get the same amount of responses. People were still stopping to talk to her and saying that they did appreciate the program. So staff has determined that that is a positive, that we have gotten a lot of positive feedback from it. And in terms of graffiti, none of the boxes were visibly tagged with graffiti, but I do say visibly just because I have a story to share for you guys. So I put that word in there for a reason. Kaylin we were emailing back and forth during the process, you know, to have her report on the feedback and everything, but she did send me an email and she sent me a picture, and she said that a woman had come by today and told me that the stack of books box, there was a mark on it. I don't know if it was graffiti or not, to be honest with you, but they said it was tagged. And the reason I don't know that is because that woman went and got some paint and painted over whatever it was. Oh. So to me, that speaks volumes to the feedback of this program. She didn't call it, exactly. She didn't call the city to make us take it down or anything. She wanted that down very quickly, and so she went and took care of it. So I think that's a good response. So I really appreciated seeing that response from somebody. And so other than that, it was only just like the length. It was as tall as one of the books was, so it wasn't a significant amount, and none of the other boxes have been tagged since. And I think that may have happened recently, but nobody kind of noticed because it was so small and because I believe it was painted over so quickly. And so that being said, I did want to point out that all of the boxes that Kaylin did, they are all coated with the anti-graffiti varnish anyway. So if that did happen and somebody did call the city, then Public Works will go out there and just wipe it off because it has that anti-graffiti varnish on it.
That's great.
So that being said, staff did determine that based on the feedback and the objective of not having graffiti, staff determined that the pilot project was successful. So before you tonight is the pilot program, which is just introducing more the painting of more utility boxes in the city. And it's a comprehensive program just calling out the step-by-step process of what staff and what the community will go through to select artists to paint more boxes around the community. And so I did want to turn your attention to page 3 on the actual program that's in your packet. And so this flowchart basically calls out everything for the process that would happen. So the idea is that city staff would identify a cluster of boxes very similar to what was done in the past, just so that it's very visible as to where the painting is starting. So hopefully, so everybody can see that cluster and not forget about another box that's kind of way out in the corner. And so then the city council would approve the budget allocation once those locations are selected, so kind of on a fiscal annual basis. A call for artists will be released and is mentioned in the staff report. Examples of reaching out to educational institutions like the local high schools, Reedley High School, Reedley College, as well as any art or graphic communications majors at Fresno State or Fresno Pacific University. We would also post the information on our website as the process goes on, and anyone else that's interested, because there's no artistic education required to paint the boxes, just as long as you follow the application criteria that is in the packet, that is in the program, then you can submit a design proposal. So the artist would submit the design proposal, and then this program also calls out a selection committee that will be formed with Reedley community members, and they would make a recommendation to the Planning Commission, who will ultimately approve the box designs. And also, depending on where the boxes are, there may be other entities that weigh in. For example, Alti Irrigation District would weigh in or make a recommendation to approve their, if the design is on one of their pipes, they would make a recommendation to the selection committee and so forth. So then, once the Planning Commission approves the artwork, the city would draft the appropriate documentation, a notice to proceed, and then the artist would paint the boxes, and then the artist would receive final payment. So the city does reserve the right to provide a stipend up front for people to offset the cost of the the supplies and paint and everything. Yeah, but they will not receive their full payment until it's all the painting is done, and it's based on what was actually approved. So that is, in a nutshell, the process. And then in the program, it calls out the design criteria, the application submittal requirements. It also calls out the selection criteria for the selection committee, also calls out how the selection committee will be, who will be on the selection committee, if you will. The content criteria, so, you know, the obvious things that the designs can't be in poor taste, can't have vulgar depictions or anything like that, that's in here, so that's part of the criteria. And then the selection criteria that the selection committee will use to select artwork. Apologize for the repeating the word select a lot just now. And then, so after the select, after, now I keep wanting to say it, sorry. So after designs are selected, sorry again, the proposals will be painted, and then there's also a section in there about maintenance, monitoring, and graffiti removal. And so I do want to repeat again that all of the boxes will be required to have the graffiti, anti-graffiti varnish on there, so that if there is something that's tagged, then it'll be easily wiped off. And then in the case of significant graffiti, we would kind of take that on a case-by-case basis if it actually ruins the artwork versus if we can clean most of it off, so that we would kind of call the artist back and talk to them about what they'd like to do to the piece or to the box or standpipe. And then lastly, there is the opportunity for program sponsorship. And so if somebody wanted to support the program in general, that's where, if they wanted to contribute, that's where the funding would go. It would not go to a specific box, because we do want this to be the pure form of art expression, so that, you know, they're not influenced by whoever sponsored the box. So it'll be neutral designs, basically, that will be on the boxes. And so that is basically it. And I did want to publicly thank Kaylin Franzen for the pilot project in general, because she did a lot of things. She was great to work with, which makes me look forward to having more of an expansive program and work with a lot of other local artists and get more of the community involved. And she also provided great examples of things that qualify under this program, you know, the selection criteria. So she provided good examples for people, and just the quality of work and the good relationship that we had. So if adopted, I'm looking forward to having the program be expanded more, and then hopefully it can even be expanded more after that in order to encourage other types of art or on other types of mediums or anything like that. But anyway, thank you very much. That concludes my report. Okay. I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any council questions?
I have a question, and I probably should have read this better, and it probably would have given me my answer. But the graffiti cover that you're putting on, is that done actually kind of as the final coat and done by the artist, or is that done by our staff?
That would be done by the artist. Okay. So, yeah, after, as soon as the paint dries on the design, that the artist would come get the graffiti varnish from us, and they would go out and paint it. So we would provide that for them, but they would actually apply it to the boxes.
Okay. I think it's a great idea, and I just today saw another one that I hadn't seen yet.
Okay.
So
oh, good.
Yeah, I think they're really cute, and they've done some creative things, and I appreciate those. Thank you.
Any other council questions? You know, one of the things that we'll always experience, anything new that comes up, there's always going to be certain individuals that will kind of question it or criticize it until they get used to it and see what it's really all about. It's like the runabout. When we put the runabout, really criticize it. And now that they're used to it, they're using the runabout, they're saying, this is the best project the city's put together. But give them a chance, they'll conform to it. So, is there any public comment? Seeing none, turn it back to the council.
Motion to approve.
I'll second it.
And second, call for the question.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Mayor Cilino?
Yes.
Thank you.
Item number 10, and just to receive information reports for the council. We'll take it on.
I have a question.
Yes.
One more question.
Sure.
The repairs on that, do we? The city pay for those?
The city hasn't paid. Joel, give me a, just make sure I'm correct on this. The repairs that are on their sheet were paid for by them, not the city.
Oh, these right here. Yeah. They pay for this? Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Confirm.
Right. Well, we're going to council reports. Start with
Had the opportunity to be at COG this last Thursday. We had an early meeting due to the holidays coming up. There was a new JPA that was formed, and that was to include a east side and west side city of that is disadvantaged communities on this water coalition that's going around. And I talked over with the city manager, and she'll give you a little bit more in-depth talk about what this includes and what it's about. So that was the major thing that we did up in COG that day. But the cities they picked was Mendota and Orange Cove as being the disadvantaged communities. I was to have a five board cities meeting yesterday, but that was canceled at the last minute, so and that's all I have.
Councilmember Fast?
I attended the Upper Kings Water Management Authority meeting and didn't get a chance to go home today to go through that particular item, so I'll bring that back at our next meeting. But I did have just a comment. I noticed that we received the quarterly report. It's a financial report from the River Cities Theater, and I'm going to bring this up again. We're giving monies to the Chamber of Commerce, and I think it's important that we get something similar like this particular item, a financial report of some sort from the Chamber in lieu of us giving them monies to operate. So that's my comments. Thank you.
Okay. Member Tambetcourt?
None.
I have none. Turn it for staff reports.
Okay. Let me explain about the water JPA that Mr. Beck brought up. The water bond funding that's out from the state, entities will soon be able to apply for the water bonds. And up and down the valley, the counties have gotten together through the COGS to do one application for Temperance Flat and some other water storage projects. Very large application process, very expensive. And as we heard from Delboski and others who were at the dinner the other night, it's a very tricky application process. And so the COGS have gotten together and formed a JPA to put the application together, because it's on behalf of the valley that the application will be put in for these water bond funds. It really was through the COG, not each individual city or county, but the last set of COG meetings, it got a little interesting because two particular cities stepped up and wanted to be part of that JPA. And in fact, that was Mendota and Orange Cove, because they wanted to make sure that the disadvantaged communities were represented well on this JPA. There was a lot of discussion. It was very controversial at the COG city managers meeting. But ultimately, it was determined that Mendota and Orange Cove have been extraordinarily involved with the Latino Water Coalition, with water issues up at the state. And so when you get Mayor Silva and Victor Lopez involved in this JPA, all of a sudden it kind of raises the stakes in Sacramento. So those cities were chosen to be on the JPA. There is some confusion still as to whether each individual city will have to contribute to be a part of this JPA. Yeah, our understanding is there's a $50,000 buy-in, so to speak, for each county that's involved, but cities were supposed to go through the COG, so the COG was going to fund the city's portion. So right now, we don't believe it's going to cost the city of Reedley anything in particular to have this application go up for some state bond funds to cover Temperance Flat and others. If that changes, I'll definitely be bringing it back to the council. But right now, this is one for us to watch and to participate in from the perspective of COG, but there's nothing that our individual city has to do just yet. So Mr. Beck and I are watching this one.
Yeah, and just one thing is to make you kind of understand where they're coming from is when Mario Santoyo was talking about this coalition, it's the thing that they're listening to most in Sacramento is from disadvantaged communities, and this is the thing that's sparking the money to release. So that's why they really want it. Somebody comes to the door, it opens for these folks, and I've also told that already Senator Feinstein is on board on this issue, so she is trying to get federal money to this issue. So it's kind of it's a real mix because of the involvement that they've had for so long, and we thought, well, you got people that's been there a long time, it's best to have them there that understand the process, and They've got great contacts up there. Let's face it, they do have the doors to open up there.
Yeah. And Clovis did step forward, and they were not excited about Mendota and Orange Cove being on this, and so really a collaboration came about where Clovis is sitting as an alternate and will be part of all of the meetings as well. So there's some interesting dynamics politically going on, but I think ultimately it will be for the benefit of the Valley with Temperance Fund and the Water Bond Fund. So we'll definitely keep you apprised. Let me make it abundantly clear that this JPA has nothing to do with the strategic or the groundwater management, Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, and the JPA or MOU that we just talked about. Completely different structure. So,
Is Mario still involved?
Yes, Mario still is still involved.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Good.
Yes, with the Latino Water Coalition, and he's really leading all of that. Okay. So,
you know, the other day, or past week, Victor Lopez called and left a message on my cell phone, and I couldn't figure out what it was for, so I finally got a hold of him when we got together. But I couldn't understand him. He was trying to talk to me, but he didn't finally realize when you mentioned her, but her, Mr. Beck didn't mention JPA. And he was excited and said, I want to thank Mr. Beck for his support.
Interesting.
That's why he was interested in it.
It's interesting.
I have a question. How many counties does this, is this going to be?
I think
four?
It's four. Oh, it's five? It's five counties.
Merced, Madera,
Central
Fresno,
Valley.
Tulare, and Kings are the five county
representatives. Yeah.
Okay, and they're also pushing the Temperance Flats? The same time, or is this separate?
That's part of this. What they're going to be doing is putting in the application for those state bond funds, and this application is going to cost, I've heard, anywhere up to $250,000 to get everything together for it. So it really does require a joint effort, and I think it speaks loudly to the state when you get that many public entities together pushing for that. So that's the JPA. The other thing that I wanted to let you know is Romelio Castillo. You may remember Romelio because she was on brought the veterans wall, Vietnam veterans wall to Dinuba. She faxed over a document today and asked that I share with you that on Sunday, this coming Sunday, November 1st, at the Dinuba Memorial Hall, there is a dinner for the veterans. It's the 14th annual veterans dinner. Veterans eat free. Individual guests are $15. She wanted to invite the mayor and the council to attend the dinner. Again, this Sunday night, dinner starts at 5:30. So if you're interested, please let me know, and we will RSVP for you and a guest or however many you'd like to have come. And then I do know we have some staff with some. Kevin, you want to?
Mr. Mayor, member of the council. It's kind of funny standing here.
A little different.
You may recall that we purchased about a year ago the triangle, as we affectionately refer to. It's the piece that's down on Reed Avenue. And part of that arrangement was selling off 3 acres to Dopkin's Funeral. I just want to let you know that we're very pleased to let you know that it actually closed today. So that 3-acre parcel is now in their possession and is no longer part of the city, and I get the privilege of picking up probably the biggest check tomorrow I've ever seen in my life. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Right.
And, so just
that
wanted,
is mine.
Oh.
Just wanted to let you know. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, and I don't believe there's any other. Oh, I'm sorry, there was one more. That's why I kept thinking. But the chief had to go home. There was an emergency he needed to attend to. But he did want to remind the council that this coming week is the annual inspection and breakfast and awards breakfast at 8:30 on November 2nd or 3rd. Sorry, I'll get you the specifics.
I think it's the following.
Is it?
Yeah.
November 10th?
Okay, I stand corrected. I believe it's November 10th.
You'll send us something.
We'll send you something. And Sylvia's back Monday, so everything gets clarified.
Back already?
Is that a breakfast or a lunch deal?
It's a breakfast deal.
The inspection will be here.
No, it's at the river.
No. It will be here this year.
Here
it will be inside again this year.
Oh.
Yes.
Right. Last year it was inside.
Too many of us ladies complained about freezing at the river. So it's here in the Redwood Room, I believe. So that's all from staff, Mayor.
Okay. At this time, I'd like to thank everybody for this evening and adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, folks.